Today we continue our journey through the Gospel of Luke, following the footsteps of Jesus. I'm sure you realize that the current style of preaching in much of the religious world is always just to keep it positive, keep it affirming, keep it encouraging. Don't say anything offensive, don't say anything harsh, or definitely not negative. But as we follow Jesus, we discover that he had some sobering words of rebuke to the religious leaders of the day. And these words of woe serve as a warning for all of us today. Luke chapter 11, verses 37 to 54. In this passage, we're going to learn from Jesus that Christianity is a relationship, not a religion. In this passage, we see that Christianity is not us reaching up to God, it's God reaching down to us. In Romans 3:11 says, there is none that seek God. Sometimes people say, I found the Lord, and I know what they're trying to say, but I want you to know that the Lord wasn't lost. You didn't have to find him. The Lord found you. He's always on the right path. It's us who have strayed off of that path and need to be found by the Lord. Salvation is not about what you have done. Salvation has to do with what Jesus has done for us. In this passage of Scripture in Luke 11, perhaps better than any other passage in the Bible, gives us a clear picture of the difference between religion and relationship as Jesus speaks these words of woe to the Pharisees. I'd like for you to follow in your Bible or up on the screen. Luke 11, 37 to 54. And as he spoke, a certain Pharisee asked him to dine with him. So he went in and sat down to eat. When the Pharisee saw it, he marveled that he had not first washed before dinner. And the Lord said to him, now you Pharisees, make the outside of the cup and the dish clean, but your inward part is full of greed and wickedness. Foolish ones, did not he who made the outside make the inside also, but rather give alms of such things as you have? Then indeed all things are clean to you. But woe to you, Pharisees, for you tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs and pass by justice and the love of God. These ought to have done without leaving the others undone. Woe to you, Pharisees, for you love the best seats in the synagogues and greetings in the marketplaces. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like graves which are not seen, and the men who walk over them are not aware of them. Then one of the lawyers answered and said to him, teacher, by saying these things, you reproach us also. And he said, woe to you also, lawyers, for you load men with burdens hard to bear, and you yourselves do not touch the burdens with one of your fingers. Woe to you, for you build the tombs of the prophets, and your fathers killed them. In fact, you bear witness that you approve the deeds of your fathers, for they indeed killed them, and you build their tombs. Therefore, the wisdom of God also said, I will send them prophets and apostles, and some of them will kill and persecute, that the blood of all the prophets which was shed from the foundation of the world may be required of this generation, from the blood of Abel to the blood of Zechariah, who perished between the altar and the temple. Yes, I say to you, it shall be required of this generation. Woe to you, lawyers, for you've taken away the key of knowledge, and you do not enter in yourselves, and those who were entering in you hindered. And he said these things to them. The scribes and Pharisees began to assail him vehemently and to cross-examine him with many things, lying in wait for him and seeking to catch him in something he might say, that they might accuse him. Father, as we sort through these various words of woe, I pray that, Lord, you would help us to examine our own heart and make sure that we are not guilty of an empty religion without a pure relationship with Jesus. We pray in his name. Amen. Six words of woe that I'd like to point out to you. And I know many of you are looking at the outline and says, where's the details? I don't see any blanks in there. Oh, well, I had 6 points. I didn't want to put it on 2 pages. Well, you can forgive me this time. Someone looked at it and says, are we having a visiting speaker today? This is not the pastor's outline. This is, no. The first words of woe that I'd like to point out to you in verses 38 to 42 is the woe to the superficial. In these verses, let me look at what Jesus is trying to say. They had accused Jesus for not washing his hands before dinner. The basic error of the Pharisees was thinking that righteousness was only a matter of external actions, and they minimalized the internal attitudes of the heart. They thought that religion was all about how you do, what type of little things that you do in your daily life, but not about what you are on the inside. That's their basic religion. They were very careful to keep the outside of the cup, as Jesus said, clean, but they ignored the wickedness that was in their heart. External religion had to do with washing their hands. Now, the Jewish practice of washing hands had nothing to do with sanitation. It wasn't anything to do with making sure that all the germs were off like we do today, you know. It wasn't anything. It was all about being ceremonially clean. The Pharisees went through a washing ritual before every meal to show how religious they were. Their law said that they had to use at least as much water as would fill 1.5 eggshells. I mean, no little splash. It had to be at least an eggshell and a half. And they believed this acted as a spiritual detergent. Then they would be clean ceremonially. You know, I looked this up. Actually, in the Old Testament, the average Jew did not have to wash their hands. Only the priests were required to wash their hands in the Old Testament before they would go into and perform the services. They would also clean the outside of the cup and the platter. Jesus referred to this as making sure that they were good on the outside, but the inside was greed and evil inside. And the inside of the cup, Jesus was saying, is a lot more important. What's in your heart more than cleaning the outside? Now, these Pharisees would also tithe. Jesus even called them, you're so meticulous about tithing, you even tithe of your spice rack. And it says the tithing of your mint, rue, and herbs. The Pharisees liked to pick and choose what they were willing to do and omit the rest. They stressed the outward duties such as tithing rituals and works, but minimalized the inward duties of the heart. They would make the small things big things. They would go to their spice rack and they would take out the mint and different little spices, and they said, 1 for God, 9 for me. 1 for God, 9 for me. I mean, they were so meticulous about those external things, and they were neglecting the greed. They were neglecting the ungodliness in their heart. Justice they were neglecting, as treating your neighbor as you should and showing him honor and respect and being fair. They didn't practice justice, nor did they show God's love. Superficial religion. And folks, we see that today too. In 1 Samuel 16:7, it says, God was looking for a king of Israel. Man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks upon the heart. And we can be Pharisees as well. Superficial. When someone looks nice and clean and cleaned up, they're attending church, they got a smile on their face, they shake someone's hand, and they have the bring in their Bible, they're not sloppy in their appearance, they don't drink or smoke or play the lottery or anything like that, but they live like the rest of the world inside. I one time heard a story about the Queen Mary. Queen Mary was the largest ship to cross the oceans when it was launched in 1936. Through 4 decades and World War II, she served until she was retired as a floating hotel and museum in Long Beach, California. During the conversion into a hotel, these three massive smokestacks were taken off to be scraped down and repainted. But on the dock, they crumbled. Nothing was left of the 3/4-inch steel plate from which the stacks had been formed. All that remained were more than 30 coats of paint that had been plied over the years. The steel had rusted away. Nothing but paint. I think sometimes that's the way we are. All paint. No steel. Nothing real on the inside. So Jesus was talking about the Pharisees, and the first woe that he said, woe to the superficial. The second was woe to the self-centered in verse 43. Notice what Jesus said about them. Woe to you, Pharisees, for you love the best seats in the synagogues and the greetings in the marketplace. Now, the best seats in the synagogue were in the front row. And I don't know if Baptists believe that or not, but at least they did. And as a matter of fact, in the synagogue, the front seats faced the rest of the congregation. So you were just looking at these people. I mean, I would not want to be looked at like that. But that was they loved those best seats in the synagogues. They were reserved seats for the most respected Pharisees. To be asked to sit in one of those seats was an honor. They would be the most prominent in view, and the man of distinction got to sit in those seats. And also they loved the greetings in the marketplace. Now what this was, wasn't just a tip of the hat or a hi, how are you. If a Pharisee was noted in the marketplace, he would be expected to have someone. The most religious Pharisees were greeted with a loud voice, and their position and title were announced. Oh, hello there, so-and-so Pharisee. You are doctors. And then they would give all your titles and all your, and so that everybody knew, well, this guy is coming down the street. And they would love this type of thing. Reputation is what people think we are, and character is what God knows we are. And Jesus said, this is kind of a self-centered religion. Matthew 6 says, take heed that you do not your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. And then Matthew says, whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. How does that apply to us? Those that desire just to be recognized for what they do, promoting themselves and getting their name recognized, if that's what your religion is all about, Jesus pronounces a woe. Do your faith in secret. You know, we need to be bold as witnesses, but we need to humbly appear in our serving the Lord. The third woe, we've looked at the woe of superficiality. The woe of being self-centered. And now Jesus in verse 44 is condemning them with a woe to the stumbling blocks. Look at verse 44. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like graves which are not seen, and the men who walk over them are not aware of them. Now you realize that Jews did not want to come into contact with anything that was dead, any person that was dead. And Jesus mentioned these unmarked graves. If the Jew walked on a grave, they were rendered unclean ceremonially and had to go through a ritual cleansing. An unmarked grave was as dangerous as a hidden mine because they might be rendered ceremonially unclean if they accidentally stepped on that ground. And Jesus said, you religious Pharisees, you are like an unmarked grave. You're so wicked, so defiled, so outward religious. When people come to you and they make contact with you, they get their ungodliness coming off of you. They were trying to make people religious, but they were actually driving them further away from God. I wonder if we are like that unmarked grave. When people come into contact with us, is our character, is our personality, the things that come out of our mouth, the kind of lifestyle that we live, does that drive them further away from God? Or does it bring them closer to God? We can be just like the Pharisees. As a matter of fact, I've met a lot of Christians who drive people away from the Lord because of their mouth, because of their attitude, because of their negativity, because of their foul moods. I tell you, we need to be careful of that woe. Jesus pronounces a fourth woe. We need to look at verses 45 to 46. Woe to the substitutors. Then one of the lawyers asked and said to him, now this is a lawyer, it's a different group than the Pharisees. A lawyer was not the kind of thing that we would look as a lawyer today. They were students of the law, they were scribes. They knew the Old Testament scriptures. Teacher, by saying these things, you're reproaching us too. And Jesus didn't say it, but he means it by his phrase, you're right, I'm meaning you too. And he said, woe to you also, lawyers, for you load men with burdens hard to bear, and you yourselves do not touch the burdens with one of your fingers. Now, these scribes, it's not talking about the pure Old Testament scriptures. You got to realize that the religion in Jesus' day had a whole bunch of additions to it that they made the people oppressed by them. Besides the do not work on the Sabbath, they would say, okay, you cannot do this on the Sabbath. You cannot go a certain distance on the Sabbath. You cannot lift this, or you cannot do that. They were so detailed, and these scribes were listing all of these rules and adding it to the Old Testament law. They were burdening people. But they made a loophole so they didn't have to keep it themselves. They would say, well, you know, this is the exception clause. And they were good at doing that. They put the burden on these people, said, you need to do all of this, but they didn't live it themselves. So they were substituting this for how they live, substituting knowledge without practice. They would teach ritualistic practices, but would not live by them themselves. One time I heard about a missionary who was in India, who was preaching, and this was a new group that had never heard the gospel before, and there was a lady listening to the missionary until about halfway through, and then she left the service. Well, the missionary was very curious and later asked, why did you leave? Well, I went to your home to ask your servants if you lived by what you were saying. It's so important. You know, Jesus, or the Bible says in Philippians 4:9, the things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. We need to be careful that we practice what we preach. We need to be careful about living by the standards that we're preaching. And anybody that's in that position needs to understand that as one finger points out, there's one, two, three pointing right back. We need to be careful to live what. And Jesus says, you scribes, you're just making up all these rules, but you're not living them yourself. So Jesus continues on in his visit to this Pharisee's home, and he points out another woe. And we call them woe to the sepulcher builders. Now, this is an extensive passage in Luke 11, 47 to 51. Jesus said, woe to you. You build the tombs of the prophets, and your fathers killed them. The Jews that were living in the times of the prophets rejected the prophecies of Isaiah. They threw Jeremiah in a pit up to his armpits, and they persecuted. They killed them. In fact, you bear witness that you approve the deeds of your father, for they indeed killed them, and you build their tombs. Therefore, the wisdom of God said, I will send them prophets and apostles, and some of them they will kill and persecute. In verse 51, from the blood of Abel to the blood of Zechariah, who perished between the altar and the temple. Yes, I say to you, it shall be required of this generation. Dead religion always looks back to the good old days when things used to be good. And that's what these Pharisees, Jesus was accusing these Pharisees. All you said, oh, we've built the tombs of the prophets and we love those prophets. But they didn't live them, the good old days. And I think we do that sometimes too. We look at back in history when our faith was strong or back in the day. You've heard of honeybees and even killer bees. But in the church, we have a dangerous species that are called used-to-bees. We used to attend. We used to be faithful. We used to be active. We used to be involved in the things of the Lord. Dead religion is always looking in the rear-view mirror and longing for the good old days when God wants us to live our faith right now, not long for those days. Well, let's look at the final woe that Jesus spoke in verse 52. Woe to the secret keepers. Let me read verse 52. Woe to you, lawyers, for you have taken away the key of knowledge. You did not enter in yourselves, and those who were entering in you hindered. What is that key of knowledge Jesus was speaking about here? The lawyers, as I said, were the ones that added the details into the Old Testament. They would try. They were saying, well, this is what it means. You know, it says this, but then you need to keep all of these rules. And Jesus accused them, you're hiding the key of knowledge. You're not giving people the clue. And you know who the key of knowledge was? It's Jesus himself. He was the one. He was the one that revealed the old scriptures, Old Testament scriptures. As a matter of fact, he was the one on the road to Emmaus in Luke 24, as he was walking with those two disciples. Jesus opened this Old Testament scriptures and showed the two men that all scripture was concerning him. The law, the books of Moses, the prophets, and the writings were all pointing to Jesus. And they missed the key. They didn't see Jesus themselves, and they were keeping other people from coming to Jesus as well. Woe to you, lawyers. You know, there's another side to this application. The scribes convinced the people that nobody could understand and explain the law except the trained and authorized teachers. I think that we have sometimes that same problem today. A lot of people who are in authority say, well, hey, you don't have the degrees that I'd have. You don't have the anointing that I have. And I am the one that hath to explain to you what it means. Well, we have the Holy Spirit. All of us have the understanding, the anointing, the knowing of what the Bible basically teaches. So we need to understand that as others are trying to hide the key of knowledge in their own little pocket, we, through the anointing of the Holy Spirit, we can understand the scriptures. As helpful and necessary as studying and experts are, the most important requirements for Bible study are a yielded heart, obedient will. Well, Jesus was not afraid to speak out against a dead religion. Dead religion is all about the externals. They're superficial. And they're hypocritical. Dead religion is self-exalting and only for a show. Let me ask you this question. Do you have a relationship with Jesus? Or is it just a dead religion? Years ago, there was a commercial. Remember Michael Jordan? Michael Jordan, famous basketball player, Chicago Bulls, greatest basketball player of all time, some say. He did a commercial for Gatorade, and it was a commercial that showed him drinking this purple Gatorade, And then he would dunk the ball, and he would run down, and he would do all kinds of special. They had clips of him in games and things like that. And then at the end of that clip, you could see his shirt. It was soaked with sweat, but the sweat was purple. And then at the end of that commercial, it says, Gatorade. Is it in you? And I thought, Jesus, is he in you? I hope that we here at our church would not be all about what we look like on the outside, our external performance, but we would believe in Jesus as our Lord and Savior and live the teachings that he taught us to live so that people would not look at us as just hypocritical Pharisees, that we would have a relationship with Jesus, because, my friend, that's the most important thing. Do you know him? Has there been a time in your life when you have called upon the name of the Lord, repented of your sin, and asked Jesus Christ to be your Savior? If you've never done that, make sure that he is in you by calling upon his name. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I pray that, God, if there's one here that has never received Christ as their Savior, may your Holy Spirit brood upon that soul today. Bring conviction of their sin of not believing in Jesus. And I pray that, Father, they would open their heart and that they would be gloriously saved. Father, I pray for us as believers that know him, that we would have more than an external form of religion. We would have Jesus living in our heart in such a way that we would want to obey his teachings and live like he taught us to live. I pray that, Father, that we would not drive anybody away from Christ just by our lifestyle, but in opposite of that, draw them near to him. We ask in Jesus' precious name, amen. Will you stand together as we sing our closing song?